Space tourism has had its first repeat customer. What's next? I'm Paul Platt, and this is Aero News. Welcome to the Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. Charles Simony was scheduled to return to Earth early this morning in a Russian Soyuz capsule, completing his second trip to the International Space Station. The private firm which coordinates the qualification and training of civilians seeking ride-alongs in the Russian space program and collects the estimated $35 million fee is Space Adventures. Eric Anderson is the co-founder, president, and CEO. A few days ago, amid reports the available seats are drying up on Russian space vehicles, Anderson talked about future opportunities for space tourists and took questions from reporters. We'll bring you his edited comments today.
Good afternoon, everybody. It's Eric Anderson. Thanks for joining us. We're very pleased to be welcoming Charles Simony home. As has been reported, he's been quite busy with his mission activities. He's been very supportive of the ISS professional crew and has been volunteering on the space station to assist the crew with some of their duties. We've spoken with him several times, and overall, I think the mission has been very successful so far. It's worth mentioning at this point that we're, you know, obviously very proud to have been able to provide these six private individuals with these seven flights and the opportunity to live their dream of launching to space. As the only company to have provided civilian spaceflight opportunities for private citizens so far, I remain proud, very proud of Space Adventures and all of our partners and clients and friends in the industry, and I'm very excited for what the future holds. I have mentioned before that Space Adventures is very much looking to continue providing orbital spaceflight opportunities to the ISS, even as the logistical and crew situation on the space station continues to evolve. We do plan to do this in two ways, and I want to reemphasize this. First, via privately funded Soyuz missions, fully dedicated flights of the Soyuz TMA spacecraft with two seats available for private space explorers per mission. And that program is still moving full steam ahead. We anticipate the first flight of that profile of a mission could launch in 2012. Second, we also would like to emphasize the possibility that the third seat on other Soyuz missions, whether they're mostly crew rotation missions or otherwise, could be available in the future as well. This is the way, more or less, in which all of our previous clients have flown to the station. As previously reported, it's certainly true that the third seat will primarily be used to facilitate the increase in the crew size on the ISS. But we have reason to believe that from time to time there may be sets of circumstances that allow for a private citizen to be a participant, a spaceflight participant on one of those other missions as well. And it's too early to tell, but we do believe that will be possible in the future. And in fact, one of the main points of today was to point out something which is new information, which is that, in fact, there is a possibility that one of Space Adventures clients could launch on Soyuz TMA 16, which is currently scheduled for launch this September 30th. We have learned from Roscosmos that the third seat aboard Soyuz TMA 16 may not, in fact, be used by the cosmonaut from Kazakhstan, and that if that seat is not used by the Kazakh cosmonaut, Roscosmos is considering both the possibility of another spaceflight participant opportunity for Space Adventures or using the seat for a professional Russian cosmonaut. So at this point, it is too early to confirm whether, in fact, such an opportunity firmly exists aboard Soyuz TMA 16. But I mention it to show that it is a distinct possibility. And in fact, we believe there will be likely future opportunities for private space travelers to visit the space station from time to time, even outside the scope of Space Adventures private missions. There is a lot of exciting things planned aboard the ISS over the next few years, and we certainly hope and believe that the prospect, the continued prospect of occasional short-term stays by private citizens will be a part of that in the ways we've discussed.
We'll be back in a moment for Reporter Q&A with Eric Anderson of Space Adventures. I'm Paul Platt, and this is a special feature from Aero News.
You hear that sound? It's one of the all-time great inventions. Takes lids off cans just like that. But now, let's picture something even bigger. A tool that can take the lid off a whole airport. Actually, thousands of airports. It's a Garmin WAAS GPS. Lets you make glide path approaches using runways that were once closed tight during IFR conditions. Hey, if you're gonna fly in the soup, you gotta have an opener. Garmin WAAS GPS. Follow the leader.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. I'm Paul Platt. Today we're hearing about the future of civilian space travel from Eric Anderson, co-founder, president, and CEO of Space Adventures. It's time now for questions from reporters.
Hi, Eric. Thanks. It's Irene Klotz. I was just curious if you do have that seat available, if it would go to Mr. Simone's backup, Esther Dyson.
Again, I stress it's not a confirmed availability, but even considering the possibility, we are actively talking to our prospective clients, and obviously the people who have been backups, you know, are naturally inclined to be good candidates for the next mission just because they've completed all the training. But beyond that, again, it's too early to tell.
Thanks. Is there anyone else besides Ms. Dyson who's completed the training?
The backup for Richard Garriott's space mission, a gentleman by the name of Nick Halleck, completed the training for Soyuz TMA-13, which was just 6 months ago. So, you know, just off the top of my head, there's another person right there.
Bill Howard from CBS News, please go ahead.
Thanks, Eric. Just out of curiosity, and I realize, as you say, you don't have a lot of details at this point, but there seems to be a widespread perception among the NASA types anyway, that the Russians would be hard-pressed to produce enough Soyuz and spacecraft just to support normal crew rotations, not to mention additional flights down the road. How do you judge the infrastructure and the ability to support, occasional seats, but really even a dedicated flight down the road? Thanks.
I am aware of the questions that have been raised regarding the ability of the Russian space industry to supply increased numbers of Soyuz missions. I think there were some people who weren't confident that the Russian Space Agency would be able to provide flights in 2009, numbering four, and I think that they're on schedule for that. You know, building rockets is a complicated business. It's certainly challenging, but I have been through our work and experience and due diligence over the years, I'm confident that by 2012, for example, the prospect of adding a fifth Soyuz is something that is reasonable. In terms of historical activity, there have certainly been many times in the past when the Russian space industry has launched more than two Soyuzes per year. But, you know, we're going to hopefully help with that. I think that the more rockets that we have flying to the space station, the better for everybody. It certainly isn't easy, but I'm expectant and hopeful that it will certainly be possible. All the indications that we have are that it will.
Tarek Malik with Space.com and Space News. And Eric, it sounds like you're very confident or at least hopeful about that possibility of having seats, whether or not you have a slot in the fall. I guess is that the correct assumption then that before 2012 there is a higher possibility of having that open seat? And I've got a real short follow-up. Thanks.
I think so, but I don't, you know, again, nothing is confirmed. You know, there are so many variables the crew size itself, which could go up and down even from its baseline planning of 6 budgetary questions. There are questions of how long those crews stay on the station. There's a lot of questions, and there's no guarantees. I'm just saying that we believe that there's a good likelihood of such possibilities appearing from time to time, and we're hopeful of that. The shuttle and the number of flights the shuttle's going to do are also a factor. So we'll have to see. But I do believe that it is a good thing for private citizens to be able to visit this wonderful space station from time to time. And I think that to the extent that becomes possible, I think that would be a good thing. And we believe that it's likely. But again, I'm certainly not going to say that it's confirmed. And there are too many factors to be considered at this point in time to be looking too far forward in the future.
Thanks. And then just a quick follow-up. Do you anticipate then the need for an increase in the cost of these trips, given the lower amount or that might be available, and I guess just the size of the station is so much larger, it's a richer experience for your customers?
So the costs for the trip have definitely been going up, and I expect that trend to continue. The facts are that there's the increased demand and the just inflationary factors over the last several years have driven up the costs. And I expect that to continue. I think that the cost will only get more expensive for the Soyuz over time.
Last question is from Robert Perlman from CollectSpace.com.
Hi, Eric. Has Charles Simeone's second flight resulted in any inspired interest from any of the other 5 to fly again? And can you just give a quick update as to, since announcing the dedicated flight opportunity, if you've had others step forward other than Sergey Brin to express interest in that type of opportunity?
Sure. So, Robert, I think it would be safe to say that nearly all, and perhaps all, of our previous clients would sincerely desire to one day go back to space. Certainly from what they've all said publicly and communicated over the years, it was a pinnacle life experience, and they loved it. And it may well be that Charles Simeone taking the step to fly again and coming back to report to the rest of us and other previous clients and other prospects for first missions could be a catalyst to get more people to fly in the future. And I think it's worth noting that even for the wider industry, I'm not sure that people had considered the extent to which space tourists would go more than once in all of their business planning and market studies and things like that. But it's certainly something that could make the market a lot wider. If we can count on people who really are supportive of the cause of civilian spaceflight to perhaps fly not just once, but maybe more than once or even more than twice. So that's something that's definitely a positive, and I'm certain it will have a positive effect on people who've flown before and people considering flying for the first time.
Aerospace analysts always like to think they know what's in store for the future. But the second trip into space by Charles Simeone caught some of them by surprise. Are there more wealthy Earthlings who would pay the high price for a ticket to space twice? Find out more about Charles Simeone's most recent trip to the ISS at www.charlesinspace.com. Find out more about Space Adventures Limited at www.spaceadventures.com. You've been listening to a special feature from AeroNews. Find us on the web at www.aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plagg. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.